Welcome to Money Moves. This is the program that helps you take control of your financial life with no jargon, no judgment, just actionable advice. And today, we are excited to talk about a trend that is, I wish I could experience it. I mean, I'm waiting for Isaac's mom to call me, but let me be clear. Let me read the headline. Helicopter parents are co-piloting their adult children's careers. Mark, mom and dad are calling up hiring managers. They are applying for jobs on their kids' behalf. They're even lurking just off screen on their Zoom interviews.
Oh, God.
What is going on here?
I remember not too long ago, like you went off to me. I don't know if this was on air or off air, but you had someone you knew. It was a parent was calling on behalf of the kid, basically saying, can you help this kid? And you're like, where is the kid in this process?
This is, okay, I just want to say this is a complete pet peeve of mine.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't have children, but I know a lot of people in lots of different industries. I have a wife who knows a lot of people in financial world and investment banking. And so we become like the easiest phone call for, can you help my kid get a job?
It's like a weekly occurrence.
I wouldn't say weekly, but I would say monthly.
It's often.
It's a lot. And we have a lot of people who approach us and say, can you help my kid? And I used to say, you know, oh, yeah, sure. And then now what I say is, have the kid call me directly. Have the kid email me directly. And, you know, shockingly, half of them do it. Only half. Mm. And they're, oh, well, he's shy. I don't care. That's not my problem. Why is this on me? I'm not reaching out to your dopey kid who can't get his own or her own job. So this makes me nuts. But this is all about, so it's like helicopter parents. I remember someone called it a snowplow parent. This is a generation of people who want to like smooth the ground in front of their kids, right? We're going to like get all those bumps out of the way. Your kid can't get a job. I think it's awesome to use your network. I'm all about that. Let me be clear. I am a networking queen. And if you hate the word networking, just say I rely on my relationships. That's all it means. I love it. I'm very good at it. I'll set up marriages and I'll set up people in jobs. And I am very happy to do it. If you cannot figure out how to get your kid to get in touch with me or Mark, then this is nuts. So in this part of the story, of course, this is when parents who have kind of tried to help their kids get jobs, now they're veering into like helping to manage those jobs. And it is embarrassing. I understand where it comes from. I know that there's like the whole failure to launch. We've had this conversation on the program. But what is it that I think is incredibly important is get out of your kid's way, make them do it themselves.
The kid's got to show some ownership.
Are you dealing with the parents of 7-year-olds who are trying to clear the way?
No, at 7, no. I haven't encountered any of that. But trust me, I'm sure I will see this in the not too distant future. And it will not be me doing it.
I mean, I think that what's interesting also I understand you want to teach your kids and they don't know and it might be a tough job market for recent grads or even anyone without a degree. On the other hand, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep doing this? Like, how are they going to manage their careers?
I will tell you what we have started doing now that we're at the prime age of 7. We have entered the figure it out yourself stage.
Oh.
That has definitely become a common theme around the house.
I have to say that I think that would be much more your wife than you.
It's both of us. When something comes up and it's clear to either one of us that, you know, Theo could figure out how to do it. Theo, go figure it out. And then he'll come back. He hasn't figured. Go try again, Theo. Just figure.
I like
pretend
that.
Pretend like I'm not here and you have to figure out what to do.
I like that. Well, listen, if you are one of those people who has a parent who's like a little overly involved, one thing to do is to say to your parent, like, I will do this. Let me do this. I can do this on my own because I understand there could also be these over anxious parents who are, you know, crazy. And, you know, I actually know a situation, listen to this, where one guy calls this other guy and says, you know, could you interview my kid, right? Mm. Interview takes place. Job offer goes out, but like the guy who is like fielded the kid's call says to the kid, like, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb for you.
Right. Because I know your dad.
Because I know your dad. I want you to know that. Like, don't F this up.
Don't make me look bad.
Okay. What happens? Kid decides not to take the job.
What a ding dong.
The guys, the parents, don't talk anymore.
Ugh.
So that is your downside. Okay, Mark, time for our favorite part of the program. It is our Jillionaire question. Today, we're joined by Marie on the West Coast. Marie, what is happening?
Hello. A little sleep deprived because I've got a two-week-old, but
Wait a minute. Our youngest fan, make sure your two-year-old signs up on our YouTube page so they never miss a show.
Is the name Jill or Mark?
Yeah, exactly. Little baby Mark or little baby Jill. What's going on? How can we help you out?
So with this new addition, we qualify for the free $1,000 Trump account.
Yes.
And so so I also have a 3.5-year-old toddler.
Ooh.
And so in the whole scheme of things, I'm trying to kind of get my head around how to think about the Trump account 530A in the sort of hierarchy of stuff.
Well,
and also thinking about like free money is great, but also fairness among the children. Do I make another account? So I'm trying to figure out what to do with Trump accounts.
Okay. Obviously, 2 weeks you haven't slept, let's be honest, and maybe 2 weeks before that. So let's like peel this back a little bit. So Mark, which is awesome for Marie, kid born this year or next year or the year after. So we have these 4 years of the second administration. You get a free $1,000. Now, you know what's funny about this, Marie? I think a lot of us, and maybe I was also at fault for this, when we first started talking about this, we're like, oh, it's a Trump account for education. But it's actually a different flavor account. It really is a little bit more of like, yes, it could be used for education, but it's essentially like an IRA account,
yeah,
right, Mark?
Right, exactly. But, you know, in terms of do you use it or not, if it's free, it's for me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in the 3.5-year-old's account, is that you have a 529?
Yes, so we have a 529 for the 3.5-year-old. And from my Googling, it sort of seems like if your goal is education, go with a 529. And that was where the Trump account seemed interesting for the idea that I could just gift my kids when they were 18.
Yes.
A bunch of accumulation in a Roth IRA.
Yeah. So
that seemed like a cool thing to do.
It is cool. It's not quite a Roth, though. It's very weird. So here's how these accounts work. So you're right. Let's say you get the $1,000 from free. Take it. Great. Now you could actually open up a Trump account for the 3.5-year-old if you wanted to. You can put in a combined $5,000 into that account each year. The way it goes is that as the money grows, there's no taxation. Kid turns 18, then you say, oh, this is an account that is turning into an account for that kid. You could take the money out, but you don't have to. But at 18, Mark, that account rolls into a Roth IRA, but you have to pay the tax, the accumulated tax, don't you?
There is a taxation on the money that goes in, yeah.
So meaning the money comes in, but it's not Roth money. At 18, the money has to go to the kid, and then that turns in, and the kid pays the tax at their own tax bracket, and then it goes into a Roth. Isn't that the way it works?
As far as I know, yes. That's why, you know, we say take the money, take the free money, but if the goal is for, you know, saving for education, in terms of tax efficiency, the 529 is the way to go.
If it is for education, we like the 529. But are you going to tell me that you have a lot of your other I's dotted, T's crossed? Like, are you putting money into a retirement account for yourself?
Yes, I've got my retirement fully funded. I get a bunch of RSUs kind of on a quarterly basis.
Yep.
And so when I get those slugs, I kind of throw them at stuff. So right now, my plan for the 3.5-year-old is to front load the 529.
Yes.
So that I can just leave it alone. So it's got 100K in it right now.
Whoa. At 3.5?
Nice.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Fantastic. Are you single, married, partnered?
Married.
Okay. And does spouse fully fund their retirement account?
He doesn't have a employer retirement account, so we fully fund his IRA.
Sounds like you're doing an amazing job. When the restricted stock units come up for sale, is your general practice, and I ask you this because I think a lot of people who watch Mark get these kinds of units, is your practice to sell them as soon as they're able to be sold, or do you exercise them, wait a year, and play that game of kind of delaying the taxation and trying to be a long-term capital gain instead of a short-term?
I generally sell the RSUs as soon as I can.
Good.
I'll play the game with my ESPPs. The RSUs, the main game I'll play, I can't get it to auto sell when I get them.
Yep.
And the price usually drops a teeny bit because all the RSUs sort of, so I'll set like a limit. Or so like I basically try to sell them for what I got them for. So I treat them like if I got a cash bonus and I have enough of my financial well-being tied to this one company that I'm cool getting it out of that.
Good. I love that. I love that. So, I mean, I guess the question is, do you think that there is any chance in hell? I feel like no, but I'm going to just ask the question. Do you think there's any chance that you're like, you know what? Maybe one will go to college, but maybe I can't guarantee both. I mean, I'm sure that the two-week-old is showing great intellectual prowess. But is it your intention, do you think, that it would be fair to say you expect that both kids would go to college in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, like sort of with who knows what college looks like in 18 years. But yeah, like that would be the intention. One thought, because I know like 529 money is a little more fungible. Like I could have money in the 3.5-year-old's name that I can give to the 2-week-old. But my understanding is the Trump accounts aren't. Like it's one kid's money and I can't move it around.
Correct.
So my thought was to maybe get cute with, like, I don't need the two 529s to be equal. Like I can still make sure that I'm fair.
Dude, like, you got
fair in some way with how
it's
in college. But
one is $1,000 and the other has $100,000.
Don't worry.
Calm down. So gang, if you're listening with a, are watching this and you're wondering about this whole idea around the 529 to Roth, any unused money for a 529 account can be rolled to another kid. Beyond that, if there is up to $35,000 that's left in the account, that money can be rolled to the beneficiary, no tax due, and it is subject to the annual limits.
Right.
Each, so up to 35,000. Maybe they'll inflate it for...
Yeah, it'll change.
But okay. But with a Trump account, I thought that the rule was at 18, no matter what, it's taxable.
When the beneficiary turns 18, it transitions into a traditional IRA.
Traditional. Okay. So
and
there
then
we-
if you want to convert it into a Roth over time, slowly but surely, you have the option of doing that.
Okay. So that's the interesting thing. You have an IRA, but it's still going to be subject. Let's say that there's $50,000 in the traditional at your kid's age 18. Then you want to move it into a Roth. You would do it. You might do it all at once. You might not. It depends. Like if the kid's tax bracket at 18 is the same at 19, is the same at 20, maybe you would do it one-third, one-third, one-third and pay zero taxes, right? But I think that for me, I have no problem if you want to kind of play with this and see how it works. Also, just remember there is only one investment that you can make in that account, and it is an S&P 500 fund.
And isn't the custodian Robinhood? Is that correct?
It's one of the custodians.
Robinhood. Yeah.
So, but only one choice in terms of an investment. So do I think it would be interesting to kind of hedge your bets and be like, yeah, let me throw $5,000 a year into this thing. It's an S&P fund. No big deal. 18, the kid will have some money. But, you know, then you would have to open one up. If you really want to be equal, you'd open up a second Trump account for your older child, not get the $1,000, but put the $5,000 in. For me, for my money, I'd rather use a brokerage account.
Yeah, I'd rather. I'm
all 529 and brokerage.
If I'm not using a 529 plan, I would just open up a custodial brokerage account and go that route. I don't want to be subjected to just, nothing against Robinhood. It's just not my preferred choice. And I want more than one investment option.
And also, I will tell you that somebody raised my awareness to perhaps there could be some interesting privacy issues, because when you open up the Trump accounts, there are a lot of questions that are asked that are beyond the know your customer questions. And so I don't know. I'm a cynic. I'm happy to take the $1,000. I'd rather go all in on 529, open a 529 for the 2-week-old, put the money in, use your brokerage account, keep that same discipline you've got going, throw that money that you sell when you have your RSUs that are available, you sell that, you fund your brokerage, or you pay for daycare, or you pay for someone, maybe a nanny, to give you some rest. Could you do that? I mean,
we have a night doula. It's amazing.
Oh, wait. So. Wait, I want to hear about this. Hold on a second. What does that person do? I need to know about this, because this is a thing that never was, like, people my age are like, night nurse. What is happening? When does that person arrive at your house?
So she comes from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. is Whoa. Her overnight shift.
How much do we have to pay for that in a high cost of living area? What's the cost?
$75 an hour.
$75 an hour. That doesn't seem that bad.
Not
that,
terrible,
for sleep.
Yeah, that's kind
Come
of like,
on.
You know.
And so yeah. So she'll either come bring the baby to me to nurse, or she can feed him a bottle while I sleep. Wow. My husband sleeps upstairs so that he can get more sleep to wrangle the toddler. Yeah, the goal is to, if you can get a four-hour stretch of sleep, you can keep your sanity. But babies need to be fed every 3 hours.
How dare they wanting to be fed? This is outrageous.
I don't remember this.
Why? You didn't have this.
Theo was a great sleeper.
He was. Mark has the kid who like came out, popped out, went to sleep.
He was a big boy.
Yeah. He
came. But they tell you to wake him up, even if they're sleeping well, to make sure their weight is gaining. So he's not at birth weight yet. So I need to like keep foie gras getting milk
foie
in
gras.
I love that. Open the mouth, push that foie gras into, which is illegal now here
in
New York.
Get some hate mail.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Marie, you're an awesome saver. You're an awesome mom. And I can't believe that you chose to come on the air with us 2 weeks into your mission. But we are delighted. Don't undo the 1,000. You keep using your 529. You keep using, and you can use brokerage for your spillover. And these kids are going to be very wealthy.
Or a custodial brokerage account in the kid's name.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be theirs, you know, if she wants
to
open one.
No, just keep it in her name. What's a nut? Well, I'm going to get involved with that. That's all the same money. That's a pain in the ass.
The path
to me.
Of least resistance. What are the odds of both these kids going to college?
High.
Very high, right?
I can tell right now.
Look who we're talking to.
Right. Marie is on it 2 weeks into the mission, and she's like, let's talk tax liability.
I would just take the 1,000. If it's me, I'm taking the 1,000, and everything else I'm putting into a second 529 plan.
And then a brokerage account also. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, do you have to put money away for the night doula? Do you have to open a Roth for her? That could be
I
a
do
nice
get
thing.
My employer this year. My employer added a little benefit to fund a bit of doula-ing.
Oh,
so
why
either birth or
it,
postpartum doula, so I can get a little bit.
I got to ask you a question: night doula versus night nurse. We used to. I heard the term nurse, and now you're saying doula. Is that just some earthy, crunchy California crap you're feeding me?
Honestly, I'm not sure what the difference is, but I know like part of the doula part is like caring about like taking care of me too. And so like doing sort of like, get me a snack. Like,
God if damn it, during get the day, me a snack. I like that.
the care of the mother postpartum is sort of part of the mandate instead of just the baby.
Well, the night
And also like the doulas are not, they're not healthcare professionals. Like they don't give medicine. And so it's possible that the night nurses have more medical credentials.
Let me tell you
I'm
something.
I'm not sure.
Marie, you are a rock star. Go feed little baby Jill or little baby Mark. And we are delighted that you joined us. You are representing the 30-something jillionaires who are entitled to the Trump account. So thank you for raising the issue. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Okay, time for the TikTok takedown. Let's roll the video.
The amount of going out to eat among the Generation Z is insane compared to any other generation. And not only that, but now for 25% of their going out to eat multiple times a week is getting food delivered. And that has a 90% markup. 90%. And then they're complaining that they can't afford to pretty much do anything, get a nice apartment or whatnot. But if we're spending like $1,000 a month, which is very normal for a person on my show, going out to eat, you're right. You can't get an apartment of your dreams when $1,000 a month is going to McDonald's and other places. Cooking at home's become like a burden, become a victim complex.
He's a little rough on that.
I can kind of get on board with some of that.
I can too. I mean, listen, I think a huge line item for anyone, forget about Gen Z, I think everybody does this. It's like we kind of ate home for 3 or 4 years of COVID and we're like, you know what? I'm kind of done with that. So I understand the sentiment. I certainly understand that you burn through a lot more money than you realize. I do think that's why I always say to folks like, track your expenses. You might be surprised where the money is going, right?
Eating out is no joke. I mean, you know, we live in New York, so I can't speak for the rest of the country, but in New York, it's insane. And we eat out nowadays. We only do once or twice a week. I like to cook. I cook 5 nights a week. So that's a big help. But when we do go out on a Friday night or Saturday night for the three of us, You're spending at least $200, $250, $300.
I just want to say that I think that's a little bit of the messenger. He kind of seems like so nasty, judgy that like, so I actually think what he is saying is probably right. His delivery is like, you're a lazy generation. And even if you're my generation, you're asses for doing this. I get it. I just do want to say that I don't think that people eating at McDonald's is preventing them from getting a house.
That was my question. What, have you been to a McDonald's recently?
No.
Like, when was the last time?
Remember when I had to drive down from Maine in the after that wedding? And we stopped at a McDonald's because I desperately needed fries in the middle of a 7.5 hour rainstorm.
I don't know if it's because where we are, I don't see many McDonald's. I have not been to a McDonald's. I'm not kidding you. At least 25 years.
Okay.
Like the only, what do we do here? I go like maybe once in a while in a Shake Shack. Shake Shack, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Shake Shack.
Yeah.
That's it. I haven't been, Theo's never been to a McDonald's.
Well, that's probably better. Okay. So Mark, let me ask you a question. Forgo McDonald's to get a McMansion, yay or nay?
I don't think one's going to equate to the other.
I don't think so. But the issue is spot on. Go out, be smart, track your expenses, and maybe you don't have to ever get a McMansion, but you probably will help your cash flow a little bit. Okay, that is it. That is the program. Thank you so much for tuning in. We so appreciate it. Please follow us, like us wherever you get your podcasts, on our YouTube page, leave comments. And if you've got a question, if you want to send us a TikTok, go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, just upload the video or check the box for audio or video. Thank you again for watching and supporting us. We really appreciate it. Thanks to everyone here who makes the show happen. We'll see you next time.